Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott. I thank you so much for tuning in today. We have a wonderful and exciting topic from the Lord today. And before we go in it, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come to you, Lord, just to say thank you, Lord. Lord, you've been so good. You've been so kind to each and every one of us, the Heavenly Father. You have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. And, Lord, we want to give you praise. We want to give you honor in advance. We're giving you an advance praise today, the Heavenly Father, because you're so worthy, the Heavenly Father. I ask you to bless each and every person that will tune into the show this morning, this afternoon, or tonight. For each caller that will call in, that will share the word of God today, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you have taught us, dear Heavenly Father, through the word of God, dear Heavenly Father, how we too must suffer and how we can suffer in times like these. Lord, we want to say thank you. We give you praise in advance. Amen and thank God. And we have a caller on the air this morning. Oh, I'm going to tune in to the caller this morning. Good morning, caller. You're not on the air. How are you doing this morning?
I am blessed. Good morning, and God bless you, Minister Sadie.
So glad to hear from you, woman of God. And to start us off today, our topic is, how do I stay close to God in time of suffering? And to give just a little synopsis before we go further into the word, some of my little notes I wrote down, who among us does not suffer? When we think about, we meet people each and every day that's going through something, that's suffering, either bearing persistent pain and hurt, somebody through sickness or a handicap, a broken relationship, that's suffering. Insufficient resources, that's suffering. These are all sources of pain and suffering. Some is by chance, like an auto accident that might, you know, maim us, or a cancer that cripple our loved ones or even take their life. That's suffering. Some is by neglect. Some as our failure to prepare for times of pressure. Some is by design, where we will be willingly to take on enormous responsibility in order to achieve some goal. We are talking about suffering this morning. Some is by sin, where we can willingly go against God's commandment and then must suffer the consequences. Whatever the source is today, we all fear the dark shadow of suffering in our life. And we have a lot of scriptures that we're going to bring forth today, but I'm going to let my guest come on and tell me a little bit about what God has for her today on how do I stay close to God in times of suffering. You are now on the air, caller.
Okay, I guess the most important thing that I think people should understand about suffering is the more we suffer, the closer we're supposed to get to God, because he's training us and he's positioning us for our breakthrough, for our destiny, for the purpose that he birthed us into the world for. And it's in that training, it's in that suffering that we develop the character and we develop the skill set and the mindset that God wants us to have. So it's really, 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 I can't stress this enough, it's really important that while we're suffering, we still maintain a right relationship and a right standing with God. Don't blame him, because it's not his fault. He wants to do everything and anything in the world for you, but if he doesn't allow you to suffer, you won't learn the necessary skills that will allow him to exalt you and promote you to the next level. The Word of God says Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered.
So if you want to go,
we shouldn't suffer. Well, if you don't suffer, then that means you won't learn anything about obedience.
All right.
If you can't be obedient, then he can't place anything of importance in your hands because you don't know what to do with it.
All right. You know, and as I was reading the Psalms and different chapters I'll give and the books in the Bible, Psalms 22 and 24 say, "For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction or the afflict, neither has he hid his face from him. But," you know, you see that three-letter word, "but when he cried unto him, he heard." Other words, "For he has not ignored the suffering of the needy. He has not turned and walked away. He has listened to their cries for help." Here, you know, God was recognizing that God has not abandoned us in time of suffering, no matter what we are going through. God has not forgotten us. He had not left us. And as I was reading in Psalms 126, I hope they are writing these scriptures down, because, I mean, it was so beneficial. As I was reading this on Psalms 126, let me turn back to it in my Bible so I make sure I'm reading what the Word of God says, that it's not from Sadie, but it's from the Word of God. In 126 and 5 through 6 say, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubleth come again with rejoicing, bringing his share with him." You know, and as I was reading that, you know, those who plant in tears with harvest, with shout of joy, they weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Here you can recognize that suffering is not forever. In the dark hours of the night of suffering, it is hard to think of a morning of joy and gladness. But, here we come to that but again. But the tears of suffering are like seeds of joy. No matter what we're going through, we're looking for the morning, because we just know and feel within our soul that the morning is going to bring joy into the suffering we went through during the night. What you telling me about that, Miss Pastor Tabitha?
I think, you know, one thing, and this is something that the Holy Ghost just spoke to me, and he's so sweet.
Tell me about it. It's
such a great thing to hear from him. I don't think people really are grateful and appreciative of the fact that you can hear from the Holy Ghost. That in itself is a miracle. We're so busy out here looking for, you know, what Jesus said, only a foolish generation sees signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
We're so out here busy running after the wrong thing that just hearing a word from the Lord is a miracle.
Yes.
And so what he was speaking in my ear as you were ministering and pouring out your heart just then was the fact that we don't understand what he's saying to us. Mm-hmm. We have children in this world, and we teach them things, and we go, you know what, you may not understand this right now, but you'll come back and thank me for it later. And that's what
right.
God does with us. He goes, listen, we've been making do it for a night, but joy will come in the morning.
Yeah.
You may not understand while I'm thanking you or while I'm letting you go through this, but in the morning, which may be tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year, you'll understand. And so he showed me this in a concept of, you remember when we were little and our parents used to spank us, and this is in the Word of God. I'm not giving anybody out there nothing that's not in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the scenario, and then I'm going to give you the Word that God spoke out of his mouth. Not my Word, but God's Word.
Yes.
And so you remember when we were little, when our parents used to beat us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we would start crying. And for those who, you know, they were soft-hearted and they really loved their kids, they would be able to really spank us. They hit us maybe one or two or three times, let's even go five or six times. And they would become so sorrowful for having to spank us, for having to discipline us,
that
they would stop. And in the process of that, you know what happened? We didn't learn not one thing. We learned that we can get over on them because they would feel sorry for having to punish us. Now, them other parents, them ones that will beat you senseless, you learned something out of that. You were not going to go there. You were not going to try to play on their emotions. You were not going to try to manipulate them. You may have tried to get out of the punishment by going to stay at somebody else's house or trying to get a grandmother or a grandfather to help you. But you knew for a fact you could not manipulate or scheme or connive or get over on them. And so now I take it back to the Word of God. The Word of God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. If you do not punish, if you do not discipline, if you do not train them up, train the child up in the way that he should go, and he will not turn from it. The Bible says, and when you do put that rod on them, don't cry because of what you're doing to them, because they need it. If you don't give them the discipline, then they won't know what it means to sacrifice. They won't know what it means to cut back. They won't know what it means to not have to do something just because they want to do it. So, see, I gave you the scenario first, and then I gave you the Word of God, which is the same thing I was giving you in the scenario, but I always want to back it up with Scripture, because one thing that we got to understand is, if God, let's say we were just doing what we want to do, and we go to jail. If God delivers you out of jail the next day, what did you learn? Nothing.
Nothing.
You didn't have any punishment. There were no real consequences. Yeah, of course you were inconvenienced. You went to jail. You had to do fingerprint. You had to do all of that stuff that inconvenienced you. It made you uncomfortable. But you didn't actually learn anything.
That's right.
Because he took you out, time you went in. You didn't stay there long enough to learn anything.
That's right.
So he cannot just deliver us every time we get in something or a situation or when he's actively training us, because if he did, what would you learn?
That's right.
You can't get nothing from God unless you're willing to go through the process.
Yes, Lord. Amen. We have another caller on the air. Minister Tanya from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Minister Tanya, what you want to tell us on how do I stay close to God in times of suffering?
The way we stay close to God in times of suffering is like staying in prayer, staying in his word, and staying in fellowship with him.
Amen. Amen. And as the minister, Pastor Tapsa was speaking, I went to Lamentation, the third chapter. And the 32nd to the 33rd verse say, but though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitudes of his mercy. Just like she was saying about the parent and the child, and when you go to jail, you haven't learned that. You haven't let God work on you yet. And for he does not afflict willingness nor grieve the children of men. You know, here in this chapter here, in these two verses, as I was reading, you know, though he bring grief, he also, he's showing you compassion according to the greatness of his unfailing love. But he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. But, you know, we have to recognize that God does not want us to see. He don't want us to suffer. A loving God does not enjoy the discipline of life, which must come our way. But, here we with that three-letter word, but again, but his compassion, compassionate love and care sees us through our times of discipline and suffering. God suffered on the cross for us. So why can't we suffer? Friday is going to be Good Friday. It's coming up to the death day and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the word of God. And what better time for us to study or talk about it on a blog talk on the suffering. God suffered. Mm-hmm. So you know we going to suffer. Yeah. We're not above that. Somebody want to jump in? Just feel free at any time.
I mean, even Christ, even when he suffered for us, I mean, that showed his love for us, you know.
That's right.
And then how the Bible says from Romans 8 that he said that if we suffer with him, then we shall reign. Even to the fact that Christ went through some things, and we're going to have to go through some things also, too.
That's
and every
right.
time, I'm learning every day of myself, even when I suffer, I have to look into the situation, okay, did I bring it on to myself, or is it God, okay, God, what are you trying to show me off in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Our tests and suffering, how they kind of make us stronger.
Yes.
Not only that, even with a test, and even if you go through things or whatever, if we don't have a testimony, how can I help somebody else? How can I bring somebody else to the faith? How can I bring somebody else into Christ if I'm not going through anything myself? You know, because
right.
he went through because what he went through for us on the cross, we're gonna have some tests, and not only that, we're gonna have some suffering also too. But even with the suffering, he is trying to teach us some things out of that situation. He's trying to teach us some patience. He's trying to teach us how to wait on him. He's trying to teach us that even as you're going through our tests and trials, he even let us know, even with that, I'm still with you.
Mm-hmm.
I had not forgotten you, because he said his word, the lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And then not only that, how he also said that he will never leave us or forsake us. So even with that, in the test and trial we go through, he is there with us to help us come through the situation.
Definitely.
Even not only that, he is there to bring us stronger through the situation. Even off of that, he is there in the situation to make our faith increase the more, even to have our faith to come stronger in the things of God once you learn how to go through.
Mm-hmm. That's
Amen.
Right. That is so true.
Glory to God. That was a blessed word. I tell you, Minister
yes.
Tanya, that was a blessed word, because that came right from the mouth of God. We have to suffer. And the problem with that is we teach people that we don't have to. And I don't mean us in general. I mean the world, society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We teach people everything to be pleasurable. Although, when you see people who go from elementary to middle to high school to college, and you know, you get your associate's, your bachelor's, your master's, your postgraduate, your PhD, I mean, all that other stuff, that's suffering. I mean, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you can say, even though a person may be smart, right, don't nobody mm-hmm. want to go to school forever. And ever mm-hmm. and ever.
That's right.
Nobody wants
That's
to
right.
do this thing day in and day out. But they know for a fact where they want to go. And
uh-huh.
they can't get where they want to go if there's no suffering involved.
That's right. That
they
is so
without
true.
The suffering. And the Word of God tells us that's the thing about us that we don't get about God. One thing, the Bible is so clear about who God is
mm-hmm.
and what God wants. And how God feels, and how he wants us to really know him for ourselves, not just through people, not just through our pastor or whoever it is that is, you know, that has the authority
mm-hmm.
and that teaches us. He wants us to know him for ourselves. So the Word of God tells us that our God is long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? If he's long-suffering, that means he suffers every day with us.
Yes, he
when
does.
When we're not doing the right thing, when we're not paying attention to him, when we don't even know who he is, when we don't care nothing about his word and his Bible and what he wants us to do, he suffers.
Yes.
He's suffering through
yes.
it with us. He's in travail like a woman that's giving birth or getting ready to give birth. You in those pains, you know, those shock waves that go through your body before you actually even give birth to the child. He is suffering with us each and every day. Every time we say there is no God, Every time we say, my own hand has gotten me this wealth. My own heart has gotten me this. It's me. I did it all by myself. There wasn't no God. It was me. Every time we run after another God, or even if we don't run after a so-called man-made God, we make ourselves God. Our belly is our God. Our lust and our wants and our desire. We make our children our God. We make our husband and our wife our God. We make everything else so much more important than God in our life. He suffers with us every day, every single day. And yet and still we go, okay, God, we heard that. We understand that. We know you suffered. We know, you know, it wasn't good what we did, but we know you're loving and you're merciful and you're kind. You know, we know you gave Jesus on the cross, and that was a sacrifice. Ooh, Jesus, yes, Lord. Mm-hmm, God. We know all that, but can you still make it sure that we don't have to suffer?
Ooh, Jesus.
You say all that good stuff.
Yes, Lord. And, you know, as I was reading in John 3:16, it say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can we give our only begotten son a daughter? That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and I was, you know, when you think about God gave his son so that everyone who believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life, we recognize that Jesus himself suffered for us.
Yeah.
Christ suffered the agony of the cross, which not only embraced incredible physical suffering, but also the unthinkable suffering of bearing the sins of the world.
Yeah.
We complain about the little things we go through on everyday occurrence, the sin, the suffering, just little things. But when you put your mind to it, you can't help but saying, Lord, I thank you today. Because I would not have been able to withstand on the cross like you did. Even when I know, even when your enemies, them that persecuted him on the cross, them that nailed him to the cross, what had he had done everything for those people. He had fed them, he had clothed them, he had saved them. He did everything for them, just like our enemies today. We try to do everything to help. We know they don't like us. We know they're talking about us. But we're going to do what Christ said. We're going to do what God said do, no matter how much they backstab us. You know, no matter how much they're trying to put us through. God said, I got, other words, paraphrase, I got your back. You know, you can depend on me. You know, you don't have to raise your hand to do nothing. I'm standing up for you. I'm your judge. I'm your lawyer. I'll be with you in the courtroom. And when you think about the suffering God went through, and, you know, people have a cliche about, I know what you're going through. No, you don't.
Exactly.
You know, people quick to tell you, you're going through some things. Say you done lost two or three members of your family in 1 month that you had to go to the funeral director, go to the cemetery, and they're going to say, I know how you feel. And you looking at them, no, you don't know. You still got your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren. So far, that haven't hit your home or it hadn't hit close enough to home. So you can't put yourself in the place of me to know how I'm feeling. You know how I feel. You ain't been down that road yet. And, you know, I couldn't tell nobody I know how they felt when their child passed. But when it happened to me, when I had to minister to somebody else, that had a child that passed, I could relate to that person because I had went through that. I could surmise. I don't know everything, but I could feel some of the pain they went through or when they lost a mother or father or grandmother. And, you know, people are quick to say out of their flesh, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. And then you're looking at their life and you're looking at them, especially if you know them enough. No, no, you really don't know what I'm going through.
Exactly.
So,
or they judge mental state. They judge mental state.
That's
they come with what they know. Well, you know, if you had handled the situation like this, or if you had done this like that, then you could have got this different result. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Hey, tell me about it.
What? Why are you telling somebody what you know they should have done or would have done or could have done or how they should, would, could get over a loss of a love? You don't know what would happen until, like Minister Sadie just said, until you get in that position, you don't know what you're talking about. And you cannot help anybody because you can't help yourself. The Bible say the blind can't lead the blind. And if they both be blind, they're going to fall into the ditch.
Yes.
So you cannot tell someone what you know or how they should have done it, because when the shoe is on the other foot in the world itself, society itself has taught you this. People tell you all kind of stuff of what you should have, could have, would have did.
Mm-hmm.
But when the shoe gets on their foot, they do something totally opposite of what they told you you should have done. You can get a doctor, a lawyer, a judge, and they can tell you all kind of stuff. But when it comes to their family, they don't want their family to have to go through the judgment that they're passing down on you. So although we can always give somebody our lip service about what we perceive to know, until, like Miss Minister Sadie said, until you get in that situation, don't go adding your two cents to something that you don't know nothing about.
And, you know, that is so true. And when I was reading on to talk on this topic and check different scriptures that to relate to the topic, you know, I think about a lot of people going to flock out for Good Friday and for Easter that you won't see until maybe next Easter or Christmas. And then when they go to preaching the word of God, you know, all of a sudden they done became lily white. They done, you know, they understand everything. Then you know they know more than you. And when you're trying to share the word of God and tell them about the suffering, and when you read the scriptures for yourself, you can read all these chapters I'm giving you, all these verses, telling you about how God went through. How we can't, if you go to church, I'll paraphrase it as an usher. And unless you've got good legs, and that is a designated area God have given you, if somebody come in and say, oh, girl, I can do that, what you doing, they want a position. I can do that. And they get up and they can't stand 20 minutes, and they want to sit down. But when we think about our Lord that went from judgment hall to judgment hall and how he carried the cross, literally carried the cross and carried the cross for us. And we can't even do something 20 minutes without complaining. And we think about the suffering, the agony he went through. And as I was reading in Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 17th and the 17th and the 18th verse, it says, the word of God says, not Satan, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Verse 18 say, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I turned to the wrong chapter. Forgive me, readers and my guests, forgive me, I went over a little bit too far. Let me go back because I want to make sure I'm saying right what's in the word of God. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse say, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And it say for our 18 say, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in him. You know, and since we are his children, we will share his treasure. Not our treasure, but his treasure, for everything God gives to his son. Christ is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. For when we suffer now, it's nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Ooh, Jesus, you know that's something, you know that's what we working toward. As men and women of God that's serving God, we are working to, no matter what persecution we go through, what suffering we go through, we know that Christ went through more, that we know one day we're going to ring when he come back. Yeah. And we know he's already walking the earth. The trumpets just haven't sounded yet, but we have to ask ourselves, will we be ready? Will he come back?
Oh, Jesus.
Will we truly be ready? Are we shaking and faking bacon? Have we let the world go and tuned into the what God is saying in the supernatural and come out of flesh? Because we got to let this flesh die. Go on, callers. I know y'all have something to say. I don't want to do all the talking because y'all my guests today. I am just so happy to have y'all on today to share in this good news.
He's just blessing us. I tell you, God is just so great and so awesome in everything that he does and in everything that he says, because he said he's coming back to a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you go back into the Old Testament, when they would bring the animal that would be, you know, killed for the sacrifice, what did he always ask for? The one without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish.
Yes.
He didn't ever want the one that had a spot over here or spot over there. He said, don't you bring me that. That's not acceptable. Bring me the one without spot, without blemish. And so that's what he's asking for in us. He's asking for us to come to him made whole, cleansed, washed with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of God, because the word got to continuously wash us over and over and over and over. And so people who think they don't got it all together, you ain't never got it together. The word got to continuously wash you over and over and over. And it's through that process that we go through, because the word tells us now, we're going to be judges.
Yes.
When Jesus comes. And how can we be judges then if we can't judge what's in the world right now? If you don't know the difference between what's good and what's bad, how in the world is he going to be able to place such great responsibility in your hands for you to be able to judge? Because what he would then do is make you like one of the people that's already in this world. People who judge, but, you know, they don't judge righteously now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll judge one way for this person and one way for another. They'll treat one person this way, and they'll treat another person differently. They'll look at the color of your skin and go, okay, well, I'll treat you like this, but if you got this color right here, like, how in the world can he place something that's so great in your hands if you can't even do the right thing with the people that's here right now?
You know, we have a caller come on the air. Caller, you're not on the air. Would you like to tell us some of your views on staying close to God in times of suffering?
Good morning, sister. Am I online?
Good morning. Yes, you're on. You're on air.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I spoke to you a few months ago, actually.
From New York?
Yeah. And I actually kind of lost what your page was, so I was glad that I actually saw you online live so I could make a friend's request to you right now. One thing I want to say to you or ask you, particularly as a woman of color and as a man of color, when we look around at our communities of color and we see our people embracing negative terminology, putting themselves in oppression, like using the N-word and using the B-word, and I particularly see that very predominant in houses of faith. What's your position on that?
My position on faith is, once you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you drop all those cliches. Just because it was taught to you or you heard it negatively, you have to rise up to the occasion and let the person that's speaking that word, let them know that you don't receive that word, and let them know that God made each and every one of us. He gave us a name from heaven. Our parents gave us a name. And we will not go through the world being labeled by what the world want to put upon us. We know who we are and whose we are. We are in Christ Jesus. And as you say, those in faith, in home bases, that's saying, walking, and talking the word of God, until their mind has been renewed, they can stop saying the N word and the B word. Once they know, shadow of doubt, that God is working in their life and through them, they can turn back the pages of time, and they can say, wait a minute, those are things I used to do, but I am a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and all things have become new.
Amen. I mean, because it was particularly disturbing to me because recently I heard a person from the pulpit use the N-word and use it during service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was like, y'all blank, blankety blanks. And I was appalled by the fact that this individual used that word. And me personally, I'm not one that subscribes to that. It depends on the context in which you're using it.
Because
to me, oppression is oppression. There are some things that you don't take ownership over.
Uh-huh.
For instance, if a person said to me the other day, oh, you're possessed by the demon. I'm like, oh, absolutely not. And I rebuke that, and I won't allow you to say that to me. But then this person said, well, you know how I mean it. Or, for instance, you hear a lot of Christians say, well, let me play the devil's advocate in this. And I'm always like, well, why would you concede that you want to work for the devil in this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the power of life and death exists within the tongue. And if you're going to say to me that you want to play the devil's advocate in the conversation, that automatically makes me want to run away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two other callers on there, and I think they can share with you their views on that, too. Pastor Tabitha, do you remember understood the question the young man asked just a while ago? Okay. Minister Tanya?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Okay. Would you tell the young man how you feel about that, on he was saying, coming from the pulpit from a minister on the N-word? Because, see, we have to enlighten. And until we get it right from the word of God,
mm-hmm.
what God is saying,
mm-hmm.
and we have to pray. When we hear things like that and they're not receiving sound doctrine, we have to go before God and pray for those people that God will change their mindset. That means change their vocabulary, change the things that they used to think. Because when they come into the body of Christ, truly come into the body of Christ, they're going to be able to tell you, I know I've been changed. I know I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb because the things I used to do, I don't do those anymore. I used to do thus, 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 and thus. But God came into my life. He showed me in the word of God the things I was saying was wrong. He showed me the things I was doing that was wrong. And for me to be able to be in heaven with God, I have to renew my mind. I have to change the way I've been talking, the things I've been doing that was not right of God. I have to be the one that stand in. I will ask like that, which you should have said, brother or sir, ma'am, I'm going to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because from my Bible, the same Bible you reading from in the pulpit is the same Bible I had. Unless you turn your page out or they told their page out. But it's still in the word of God. How are we supposed to conduct ourselves as leaders in the body of Christ? And until we approach that head on, they can continue on doing the things that they want to do, thinking they're doing right. But the people in the pew that know better going to pray and let them know, wait a minute, man or woman of God, not disrespecting you on the position you have, but this is what I would have the scripture when I come to them. I would have my scripture say, well, this is what the word of God says. So now, me as a lay person or as a bench member or something, what you said on Tuesday, Sunday, or Wednesday, I went home because that thing worried me. And I know as a child of the King, I'm not supposed to be saying that. So this is the Lord brought me to these scriptures. See, that means you're going to bring conviction to them because
mm-hmm.
you're going to have the word to back it up, what you're saying. It's just not you just talking out your mouth. You're going to say, this is what God is saying.
Yeah.
And I thank you for bringing that to our attention because whoever may be listening in today may have been going through that same scenario in their place of worship or their place on their jobs or somewhere, you know, and until they have been renewed in their mind to realize they can't continue on going and want to see Jesus because Jesus is soon to return. He's always already walking the earth. We see it in the signs of the time, the season. And just like you just say, we see it. But God wants us to reform. God wants us to pick up that word of God. God wants us to read it. God wants us to dissect and read it and let him revelate to us what he's saying by reading the word of God. And the more we read it, the more we we fast, the more we pray, God will renew our mind. He will give us things that we never dreamed possible. But he wants us to get into the word, into the meat of the gospel, to read what does say the word. And he left it with that. And I am so glad you came on today, because we are talking about how do I stay close to God in times of suffering. And do you have something you want to add to that topic today?
Well, one other thing that, well, first I wanted to ask you, I know you guys do a prayer call in the morning, so the paper that I wrote it down, the number on,
mm-hmm.
I misplaced it. So can you give me that number again?
Yes, we sure can. Minister Tanya, wouldn't you give him the prayer line?
Sure. 712-432-0850, and the passcode is 669-042-pound.
0425?
669-042-pound.
Oh, 42-pound, okay.
Mm-hmm. And we invite any listener that's on that would like to join a prayer line. We would love to have you, because it's men and women of God from around the world that's praying on that prayer line every morning from 6 to 7. Sometimes we may go over, some that have to go to work, they hang up, but the prayer continue on, because that's what's needed right now in the land is prayer. Prayer is the only thing that's going to break these barriers and these mindset that people have that is not of God. We're going to have to go in prayer and fasting, because if you want to do anything for the kingdom, we need to be about God's business. Is Pastor, Pastor back on, Pastor Tabitha? Because I know she's on her job right now when she comes in. But I'm going to go on a little bit more on talking about how do I stay close to God in times of suffering. And, you know, as I was reading, suffering is shared in the body of Christ. As we were just talking about the question that the young man gave us just a while ago, there is suffering going on. And in 1 Corinthians, if you turn your Bibles, you have your Bibles, and we can turn to 1 Corinthians. Let me turn back to mine right quick, because I want to read what God say. Not me, but what God is saying in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 26th verse. And the Bible reads, it says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or with one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." And here, when you read that topic, when you read that verse, I'm sorry, when one Christian suffer, it should hurt us all. That means when one person going through, if we're in the body of Christ, we're going to feel what our sisters and brothers going through. All of us are members of Christ's body, unified. If one part of our body hurt, it sets up a systematically a sympathetic plan throughout our entire body. You know, so it should be in the body of Christ. You notice if you have a toothache, for anybody that had a toothache, when you get to the dentist sometime that it doesn't stop. But most of the time when you have that toothache, it feels like your whole body is hurt. Don't look like you can get relief, but you know the pain started in your tooth, in your gum. But you're in so much pain, the pain feel like it's all around your body. I had increased our time this morning because I felt this was going to be a very good topic. And I think they're saying we have 1 minute more, but we'll be on a streaming for a few minutes. Okay. But, you know, as I went to 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, they say, "All praises to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us so that we can comfort others." Yeah. And as we were thinking, you know, I was thinking, wounded, heal, and more welcome than heal. There's more weakness than heal. Who has never been wounded? Why? Because they not only have the answer, they have wrestled and organized over the question on the suffering. I know just on church on Sunday, I was in church and I picked up the pain the people were going through in the body of Christ. But one particular woman, I picked up what she was going through, didn't know it was her. But God had given me that strength where that inner, where when I picked it up, I told my pastor, and my pastor told me it was his wife going through that. She hadn't mentioned it to nobody, but I picked it up. So I started suffering and bearing that pain she was going through in the sanctuary. And that's where we ought to be. We ought to be connected to that vine so that we won't let that vine go. Because, you know, when you cut off one branch, if it don't connect to another branch, that portion die. And we as women and men of God, we don't want to die. We want to stay connected to the branch. And I want to thank every one of my callers that came on today. Pastor Tabitha, are you back? Minister Tanya, would you have anything else to say before we go off?
I just believe this was an awesome lesson on today. It was just really encouraging. I mean, I just learned a lot through even with the title and everything, that, you know, even when Christ suffered, we're going to have some suffering and that tests and trials. But even with that, God's going to give us the grace, the anointing, and a power even to stand, even for whatever we have to go through, God is there to bring us through.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And young man, did you want to tell us something about the suffering?
Well, you know, no suffering that I go through is any greater than what Christ went through on the cross. So I know that I can endure it in God's strength and for the glory of the kingdom. So whatever I go through, you know, I recognize that I'm going through and I'm not stuck in. So I don't wallow in the self-pity and the shame. Of course, I have my moments in which, you know, momentarily I might get caught up in the feeling of, oh, why, woe is me, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
But the great part about having the Holy Spirit deposited within your every fiber of your being is you know that even when you're saying, woe is me, that joy will come in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And before I leave there, I would tell our listeners that's listening in, I'm glad you tuned in today. And God offer healing to the brokenhearted today that may listen to this program. God have mercy upon those who suffer. And God comfort those who suffer. So until next week, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, everyone for calling in. I have enjoyed talking to each and every one of you all, and I ask you to please tune in next week because we have and the Lord say the same, we have another exciting topic for next week's program. So I hope everyone that's listening today, morning, noon, or night, that they will tune in next week and will come on and just share some views with us on the topic for next week. And until next week, be blessed. Have a wonderful Easter to each and every person that have tuned in. Bye-bye.
Bye.